All right. Okay, so I hope that was a blessing and that worked for you. This is the harder stuff. It's not hard to figure out Saturday versus Sunday and what not to eat and all that other stuff. Figuring out how to love each other, this is tough. Okay? Because we're challenging to love. You know, we're not easy to love. We are really not. I mean, we have our moments when we are, but we're not, you know? And a lot of us, when we got older, we lost the one advantage we had when we were little, the adorable factor. Listen, my mother said to me, it was a good thing I was cuter. I wouldn't have made it to 4. Okay? But that doesn't work so good when you're 30 and 50 and 60 and 40 and all that stuff. Yes, we still have the adorable factor to certain people might think we are, etc. But it doesn't carry a lot of weight when they push some button and trigger some landmine you've got and everything else. Okay? It just doesn't quite have the weight that it has when you were a little kid. Okay? And when you used to do those little things when you were a kid, the first couple of dozen times it might have been cute. After a while, even your parents started thinking, you need to knock that off. It's not cute anymore. Some of you parents know, you've said to your kids, well, that was cute when you were 4, but you're 14 now. He needs to stop. Okay, it's not cute anymore. Okay, well, guess what? You know, after 20, it's definitely not cute. We got to figure this out. All right, this is the part of the teaching time that we call the afterburn. So who wants to go first?
Shalom, Rabbi.
Shalom, Janet.
What a wonderful teaching. Thank you so much. If you allow me, Rabbi, I have a question about 5:4. When it says foolish talking, coarse jesting, is this related to the deceiving words that we're not supposed to pay attention to or any rude, angry remarks? Right. What is it about?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I did skip over that quickly, and that's only because my brain was going on these other things. Look, we can do foolish jesting, and we can even do coarse jesting with each other when we know that's the right relationship, but you have to make sure that you understand that we're looking to make sure we're not hurting somebody, embarrassing them, shaming them. So a lot of it has to do with the intent behind it, but also the relationship. You may think, oh, that's okay, Billy can handle it. And maybe he can, and maybe he acts like he can, but you should be sure before you do any of those things in the relationship where you, because some people have a really good relationship with each other where you tease each other pretty good and you can jest with each other pretty good, but just ask them every now and then, is that really okay or not? Because if it's not, you shouldn't be doing it, okay? Because it may not be to them funny like it is to you or the people watching. So just be careful with that, all right?
Do you allow me one?
So you don't want to coarse jest just willy-nilly. So that's an inside joke. But anyway.
5:12. Is this saying that we're not supposed to focus on that, meaning staying away from it, from the deceiving, I think it's just deceiving words? 5:12.
No, I mean, verse 12 is just saying that there's stuff that's so worldly that we shouldn't even be talking about. It's like stuff that's not even mentioned.
And then, since you're my rabbi, I want to make sure that I'm understanding how to respond appropriately to, you were teaching us about all correction has to be done from the right relationship. So I actually, in an occasion in the past, there was a male person who approached me to correct kind of one of my kids or something like that. And then the same person approached me for something else. I went to my husband and I asked him to deal with that situation since I'm not single.
Perfectly appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you should go to your husband and deal with that, exactly. Look, first of all, there. If you are anybody that sees someone's children doing anything, you know, if you know one of the parents is there, you may want to just go and say, I just want to bring this to your awareness or your attention. Right, that way you're not judging the situation. Do you know what your kid's doing? That's not what you want to do. Hey, Janet, I just thought you might want to know that your child is over there doing whatever. So you may want to handle that, okay? Now, of course, if a member of the staff who has a responsibility comes over to you, like on the feast site, like if Billy or George or somebody that's here running or someone from the safety team said, listen, we got a problem here. You need to talk to your child. They're doing something that needs to stop. Well, that's their position puts them in a relationship for that. Okay? But the rest of you, I would be very careful. Now, if you think that what the child is doing is actually dangerous of some sort, yeah, definitely go to a parent and say, you need to be aware, I think this is not safe. I just want to bring it to your attention. That's great. But as far as you might think it's maybe not Sabbath worthy or some other thing, well, that's not for you to judge. You're sitting in the sanctuary, it's Shabbat, you see one of the teenagers on their phone playing video games, you think it's wrong, it is wrong, but it's not for you to correct. You may want to go to the parents and say, by the way, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, if you're okay with it or not, I just want to let you know that your kid was playing video games. And the parents should say, thank you for bringing that to my attention. And that's all you really have to say. And then say, I'll take care of it or deal with it, whatever way you want. I mean, if you're okay with it, you're okay with it. If you're not, you'll go handle it. But we are wanting to mostly bring to people information so that they can deal with it. Preferably find the husband, if there's a husband and wife. But you can't always find both because someone's right there. And it may be something that, you know, you want to deal with quickly and just bring to their awareness quickly. So you go to whoever you find. All right? And so if it's not something that's urgent, you may want to find one of the ministry people and ask them to handle it. In other words, for they can go find the parent and they, you know, so that you're not overstepping a bound there. It really depends on the level of urgency. Okay? Shira?
Thank you, Rabbi. You're excellent. Welcome. Very convicting message. I wanted to just kind of lay before you a request for some clarification. It's really hitting home with me that, you know, you're pinpointing that we avoid doing the things that we don't like to do. And we like to serve in the areas that we like to do. Can we kind of pull that into the whole area of learning what your gifts are and your talents and developing them and using them, and those will naturally be something that you like, but in developing those, there are always aspects, no matter how much you love what you do, like you love being up there and exhorting us, but there are aspects of every calling and every commitment that are not fun. Agreed?
Yeah, I guess you've been paying attention to the other parts of my day.
So I just had a little concern that some of us might think, might start feeling a little bit guilty that while I'm trying to do what I feel I'm called to do and my talents are, but...
You know, I don't want you to feel that. I mean, look, okay, here's the thing, all right? If you... We'll use the feast for an example. If you come to a place like this, or even if you just come, you move to the area, now you're part of the congregation, and you know you have gifts or talents in certain areas, you would then come to the leadership and say, I'd like to let you know, I don't know if you have a need for it or not, but I'm pretty good at these things, okay? And then we might let you know if we have any openings to do those things. And if we don't have an opening to those things, we may say, but if you want to serve, we've got these other things to do, and they may not be things you want to do. So it really has to do with that. Okay, like for example, it worked out beautifully for us that a lot of the people that got here recently or were happening to be visiting right before the feast were very good at the kinds of mechanical and construction and physical things we needed done to put together this event. Okay, guys like Larry and guys like Rocky and guys, all these people that were here that could just jump right in, and those are their gifts and talents, and we needed them. Now, do we need them every day? Not really. There are days when we do, there are weeks when we do, but not every day. Okay, you may have a talent for music. We may not have room for you within the music. You may have a talent, you understand what I'm saying? So, absolutely, you should share and let us know, hey, I believe that I have a gift or talent in this area. I'm pretty good at something. Is that something that you need help with that I can do? But if the answer is we don't have that need at this moment, well, do you decide at that point I don't want to do anything? Or do you say, well, maybe I could try something else? Look, I love counseling right now. I hated counseling when I started, okay? I'm just being honest. I didn't have any experience with it. I didn't really know what I was doing. And so a lot of times we don't like certain things because we don't understand it, don't really spend enough time doing it, don't appreciate certain aspects of it. And then after doing it, you really can appreciate that there is something to it that you can bring your talents to. But it's overcoming that idea that, you know, I don't want to be the elbow, I want to be the wrist or the pain, you know, whatever. And just, I'm good at this, I'm, you know, I want to help, but hey, I'm willing to do something else. Did that answer the question? Okay? So we do want to know, I mean, if you, you know, some of you might be able to sing or play a guitar or drums or whatever, so tell us. Some of you may be good with children and want to teach, and we have a, maybe an opportunity to help teach the children, you know, when we're looking for more people to help with that. Maybe some of you are really good at, you know, making sure that things are put together and maintained and, you know, and do some of those physical, whatever your talents and gifts are, please let us know. And we might be able to work with them. Look, Shira does the audio scripture readings because a lot of people noticed that when we had people reading during our Torah portions, how well she did it. And people would say, wow, you should record that. And so a lot of times those gifts and talents come out just in everyday activities instead of having to necessarily identify yourself at it. But people really enjoyed the way she would read. So they asked, hey, would you ever consider recording them? And then she asked me if that would be okay, and we talked about it, and we did those things. So yes, please be encouraged that I don't want you only to go look for things you don't want to do. I'm asking you to be willing to do the things you don't want to do, but you should be looking to do something. You should have something that you're here doing. At some point, you should have had your shift that you took doing something. Okay? All right, next.
I just have a question.
You got to put it right up to your mouth.
Sorry, I do that every time. I just have a question about what...
Listen, nobody's been bitten by the mic in a long time. We haven't had, we're like 300 and, you know, million days without an incident, so you're good.
Okay. I'll remember next time. So you were talking about living in the present and forgetting your past and not thinking about the future. So I was just wondering how that works as you're developing, you know, in Torah observance. Is it that you let go of your past altogether and then you just trust that Abba will take care of your future and focus on what you're supposed to do right now? Or is it that you're supposed to carry some part of your past and figure out how that works right now and what you will look like in the future?
Okay, so that's a really good question. First of all, I never said, so I want to be clear, that you forget your past. Now, releasing and understanding that you're no longer living in your past is a whole different part of the challenge. If you've ever studied any kind of success training, they say that experience is the best teacher. It just doesn't have to be yours. Okay? No, really. And a matter of fact, it's a lot faster if you learn from somebody that already experienced something, so you don't have to take the amount of time it takes to have that experience. So when you learn from somebody else's experience, it's their past, not yours. It's information that you now find useful to use going forward, but you don't have any emotional baggage to release. What if you did that with your own past? Took the value out of the lessons learned. Okay, if you had a negative thing happen in your past, you now know what to look for potentially for something that could turn into that. So that's information that's useful. Not if it turns you into someone who's so paranoid and worried about it, now you can't have any relationship, but at least, you know, you have that information. Now, in the now, though, you have to be able to say, is this just sort of feeling like that, or is it really that? Because that's when we get the PTSD trigger. It may not actually be that, but now you think it is and you're reacting as if it is. So use your past for the value out of it. Value doesn't always have to be a good experience. All the mistakes that successful people made are part of how they got to be successful. Not because they forgot about their past, but they learned something from it. And they took what they learned forward. Whether it was something good or bad, they learned something. Okay? But then you have to release that's no longer where you are. You can't still be that kid that was abused emotionally in your head where you're at. You can't be that kid anymore. So that every time you interact with someone similar in some way, it brings you right back there and that's all you can do. All right? But you learned from it. And that's kind of what we have to do. That's kind of like when I counsel couples who will let me counsel both of them and they're both submitted. Sometimes we get going a little in the right direction and all of a sudden something goes sideways and one of them will say to me, see, nothing's changed. I said, hold on a second. Absolutely something has changed. the last time whatever this is happened, you didn't have me. Now, that doesn't mean it's automatically better or worse. It's different. Okay? And you have to recognize that there's differences now. Unless you're interacting with the exact same person and the exact same everything, there's differences. And those differences are what should have you paying attention to whether or not you should react the way the past thing was, because if it's different, you may not need to react that way. And so you're aware. Is that making sense? How to play that out? Okay. And so I had to explain, yes, it feels the same. The response from your wife or your husband, whichever one was, you know, triggered you back into a pattern of behavior. But the difference is you both came to me now to work it through, which 2 years ago when this happened last time, I wasn't there. You weren't with me. You didn't come to me. That makes it different. At least potentially, it could go in a different direction. But it is different because there's a new element in it. Okay? So if I'm talking to you and I trigger a reaction like you had because I sounded like your father sounded, or my facial expression, something was like your father, and your father had been a sort of a bad influence, a bad experience in your life, you got to remind yourself, I'm not him. It may feel like that for a minute. It may have just been a look on my face. Take a breath, calm down, and let it play out a little longer to see. Don't let that trigger you into that, it's not safe, I'm not in a safe place, I need to run. Maybe be a little bit slower to figure that out. Be patient, walk it through, okay? The past at least alerted you to the possibility, and that way if you do need to disengage and run, you can. But you have to recognize that that will also trigger more often than not when you don't need to. And that's because it's bringing you into the past instead of you taking the information from the past into the now. You're back there, okay? All successful people tell you about their past experiences and stories and how they now led to where they are now, not because they went back there, but because they brought what they needed to bring forward and left the rest of it back there. Did that make it more clear? Is that good? All right. Who's next? Okay, Gerardo.
Hey. Hello. Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? Rabbi, I kind of have the same question, but it's in a little different form, if you can. How do you go beyond your past and not trigger? And if you do trigger, how to come back? Kind of already something how you mentioned it, but mine's might be a little bit different, where I might call home one day, and after I call home, you know, it might not be a flashback or the best response or whatever, and I just travel. And me traveling, leave me alone. I don't feel like being bothered. I'll talk to you later. Next day, 2-3 days from now, however it may be, but how do you stop that trigger?
All right. Good question. Okay, so I'm going to make something up on the fly for you. All right. One of the things that everybody has a challenge with, men have a challenge with especially, is what we will call transition time. All right? And women, you need to pay real good attention to this, okay? If your man is doing something, and now you want him to do something completely different, or he just came home from work, and now you want him to be focused on the house, he's going to need time to transition, to get his head and his mindset in the new thing, all right? Same thing like you ask him to do something, and then you ask him to do 5 other things. No, let him do the one thing, then ask him for the next thing. He doesn't want to be asked to do 5 things, 1 thing at a time. You guys can juggle all the stuff that ladies do. Guys are different, all right? Okay, so just let him transition. So use that technique, though. You're on the phone. You're talking to people back home. They brought you back into that place. When you get off the phone, remind yourself, okay, I need to be back now in this place. So let me take a few minutes. Let me sit down for a second and get myself back into this is where I am. All right? So give yourself that transitional time. Recognize that if you're with people or talking to people or doing something that brings you into a certain head, that then you're now switching into a whole different environment, you need to be in a different head. Okay? You can't go from, if you had a hard day at work and a messed up day at work and then come home and expect that to go well with your spouse until you transition. And you have to get yourself back and say, wait a minute, I'm not there anymore. It's like putting the past in the past. I'm not at work. I'm now home. Same thing like if you have something going on at home, you can't bring that to work. Okay? I'm not home anymore. I'm now at work. You have to get your head wrapped around situationally where you are and where you need to be. You know, I talked about this many times to you guys, the idea of being situationally aware, even hyper-situationally aware. You have to know what's appropriate and where your head has to be, where you are. I've got to be in a different head here on the stage talking to you right now than when I'm out there walking around making sure everything on the feast side is going where it needs to go. Because if I'm thinking about all those things right now, I couldn't answer your question. It'd be too much occupying my mind. But if I'm out there doing that, I can think about all the things going on and make sure, check in with all the department heads. Is this going okay? Is that going okay? How's it going in the kitchen? How's it going on safety? What's going on over here, right? But you have to have your head wrapped around, what role am I playing right now? Where am I? Did I let something that's going on drag me into a place that I now need to leave? Because you may have been dragged into a place you don't need to stay. Emotionally, mentally, thought processes, and you now need to shift. Okay. All right. And all those of you that are counseling with Janet, she will transition you guys with that next week as part of your counseling session. No, I'm kidding.
All right, I guess part B would be, when I get a list or a vision in my head, like, my lists are, you know, like a screen, TV, whatnot, and it's just a lot of them. So how do I break out of the visions or and not visions, but like the pattern that's occurring? Because my problem is I don't think about it, I bury it. And then when it pops up, it's there. I can't do anything because I usually either bury it with work or distract whatever. But I've noticed that this has been a struggle for about 30 years now, and I haven't gotten anywhere, so.
Change your process, okay? So you can, when thoughts come up like that, you can create a new process. Okay, so if you have a phone, a lot of phones have a little notepad or something, just write a little note to yourself and say, okay, I put it there. I know I'm going to go check that on, you know, when I get home, and then you check it when you go home, and then that's where that belongs. If you have a list of things that are going to then pop up whenever, make sure that list is actually written down somewhere that you check on a regular basis and work them out one at a time so they don't just randomly pop up, because your brain in the back is wondering, your subconscious is wondering, he's going to forget this. Well, not if you have it written down and you're going to check it on a regular basis. You're not going to forget it, okay? So change the process on how you deal with these things, and then that won't happen anymore, okay? It's just like when I told you guys, like when I did the making decisions teaching, you know, I do often have a lot of stuff that runs into my head right when I'm trying to go to bed and things are finally quiet, and sometimes they have to do with teachings or things with the ministry. I simply get up and write them down, and then it lets go enough for me to go to bed because I know I'm going to look at it in the morning. Okay, so there's no need to give it any more attention. I've already allocated that it will get attention. So as long as your subconscious is worried you will not give it attention, it will just keep popping up at random times until you assure it will get attention. Okay? Now, you can't make your list and never look at it. You have to put a reminder in your phone to pop up every so often. Check your list, and make sure you're getting all the things done that you need to get done. All right? You can set an alarm that says, check the list. Just make an alarm. Okay, next. Up, Janet.
If you allow me, Rabbi, it's just a comment. When you were talking about being in the present and you were saying imitate him, I was thinking about Yeshua, you know, when he was present with the sick, when he healed him, he was present and loving still Judah when he knew he was going to betray him, and even in the Last Supper when he knew he was going to be crucified, you know, I mean, he wasn't really thinking about what was going to happen in the future or even anything else. He was really present, seeking Father every day, praying, you know. So it's such a beautiful example. I need to think about and imitate from him.
Amen. All right, look, a very important exercise that you can do to work on this. Everything that you do, ask yourself while you're doing it, am I here? Or am I thinking of something else? Is my mind somewhere else? Am I actually, when I'm talking to you, I now exercise that thing, because especially here it's hard with all the things I need to do, but I need to, because you know if the person's not really listening to you or they're not fully present with you. But like when you're in the study, are you in the study fully present, or are you thinking about lunch, you're thinking about something, or are you, at all times, just ask, am I here in this moment doing what is needed at this moment? And then if the answer is no, then you can bring yourself back. And just the more you practice bringing yourself back into the moment, the better you'll get at it. And then you will find the quality of relationships will increase tremendously because you will actually be fully present with that person anytime you're with them. Okay? And that's a big key. Okay, live stream before we get, you got one back there? Okay, because I only got like 15 minutes. I want to give the live stream. So let's go ahead with Michelle and then we got to go to the live stream.
Shabbat shalom, Rabbi. You always teach us that, you know, we have to refocus our thoughts positively, okay? I've been kind of studying, trying to retrain my brain because keeping the past from the present. So is it good to connect that with, like, refocusing meditations and positive training? Is that good to...
There are... dozens and dozens of things you can do that can help. The main thing that can help is to be aware. Okay? You should be aware if your thinking is more because of the past or is it in the now. Are you more thinking about because you're worried about later, which is in the future, or is your mind on now? Okay? Now, if you're concerned about something in the future, like Gerardo was saying, make a list that'll remind you later. Then I'll know that when I'm done with whatever I'm doing right now, that I allocated time for right now, I don't need to think about anything else because I know that later is going to take care of itself. All I have is to focus on right now, okay? And so that's where it begins. The other techniques and things, go out, there are books, all kinds of trainings and things that will help you to deal with those kind of stuff. But it starts off with an awareness, and then once you catch yourself, bringing yourself back. Is my thought that I'm having right now in the now, or is it because of the past? Am I thinking about something, bringing me worried about something that happened? Am I feeling bad about it? Am I upset about it? Is it something that happened already? Or am I thinking only about what's right now? Oh, but I'm thinking about later. Okay, write that down. I don't need to deal with it now. I'll deal with that in 15 minutes when this is over. Okay, then I can focus on later. Okay, now I got to focus on now. All right, live stream. See if we get a couple in real quick.
Okay, from Jacob Uden says a question. Ephesians 5:11, explain how reprove means not to correct.
Okay, it's just basically getting into the actual Greek word itself. And so the correction, it has to do with you identifying that it's something you shouldn't be doing. It's not you actively going over to the person and correcting them. Okay? Next.
Okay, it's a comment from Steve Waffle. Says as he's up serving, but you know he had to get one in.
No, he's working hard where we have him working. So he's busy. Okay.
Okay. So he said, as time passes, comes familiarity. This brings comfort and where we are, the danger is to allow complacency because it will affect the effort we are willing to invest.
Amen. And that's how we know it came from Steve. It was just as hard for you to read as when he reads it. So that was not someone pretending to be Steve. Well, it was well said. Complacency is one of your worst possible enemies, okay? Getting comfortable, look, you're either growing or dying, okay? You get comfortable, you start heading towards dying. You got to be moving forward. You can't get complacent. All right, next.
From Justin and Denise Rodriguez. So this question, how do we deal with people that see us a certain way that we cannot battle how they see us, no matter what we do?
So they cannot what?
It says, how do we deal with people that see us a certain way that we cannot battle?
Cannot battle? I didn't catch that word, what that word is. Okay. All right. So basically the idea is, how do you deal with people who see you a certain way and you can't get them to see you differently? Let it go. Stop worrying about it. Look, I don't want to sound like we're missing the whole point of all this. Why do you care so much? You can't make people see anything, think anything, believe anything, feel anything. Do what you got to do and let the Father work on the rest of it. Okay? And I like how we're getting all these questions from people that are here, but they're not here. Okay, go ahead.
I think Justin's out at the security.
Yep.
Okay, from Anna Uden, Ephesians 5:11 and Matthew 18:17. How do we properly deal with people like this? Have no fellowship with them and treating like a tax collector doesn't sound very loving. Can you clarify?
All right, well, we're not necessarily dealing with the exact same thing in Matthew 18 and in Ephesians, but look, what I'm trying to convey to you is that, and probably counsel with somebody like me would be important when you're trying to figure out the appropriate way to interact. There is a line that is kind of murky for a lot of us as to who we should be interacting with and who we shouldn't, and the reasons for that, okay? It's not something that you can find in Scripture with very straightforward clarity because it's more case by case and that kind of stuff. Those that are in the obvious category is one thing, okay? If somebody's obvious, what is obvious? Well, they're not covenanted, they don't attend anything, they're out there in the world. I mean, you know the people you grew up with and people you know that are out there just living life, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we die, who cares? So those are people we probably don't need to spend a whole lot of time with, but you still want to be a light, and these are people you know your whole life, but you have to be very careful on the amount of interaction. Because otherwise, those of you that might think, well, I'm going to influence them, well, it generally works better the other way around. They end up influencing you. Okay? And so be careful. It's about being careful. Now, the person in Matthew 18 is the person at the end after you went to your brother, then you brought the witnesses and you brought the elders, and they still refuse. Well, then they just need to be dealt with in a much stronger way. So we're dealing with an inside the camp situation that is not getting resolved appropriately. And so that's a judgment decision by the leadership on how to handle that. I'm just saying is that you need to know that there are those, okay, I think it's about four. We'll go with four categories of people, all right? There are those inside the camp that are covenanted or making an effort to try to figure out what that looks like, okay? Because, by the way, you don't know who's covenanted or not. They're just at least covenant pursuant. Okay, they're here. They're acting like they're trying to figure it out, etc. Then there are those that are very easy to identify. They're not here at all. They're not interested at all. They're out there doing whatever they're doing, and that's what's going on out there. Okay. Third group of people are those that, and again, remember, this is a part of the body. We have relationships. And there are those that in this part of the body get put outside. And there's a right way of dealing with that. They were here and they were actually put outside. And by the way, if those that are put outside finish their process outside and are brought back in, you need to treat them totally fine. Because they did their thing and now they're back. And that should be our hope with everybody, right? Then there's a fourth category. Those that choose to walk somewhere else. They're still claiming to be covenant pursuing and Torah pursuing, but they're not leaving me. They're leaving all of us. And I'm not sure what that should look like, but you should know that they left all of you, not just me. Because someone will say, well, I just left because of... Well, no, they left all of you. This isn't just me. All right? This is a body, this is an assembly, this is all of us. And there are people that have chosen to go someplace else. That's fine, they can go someplace else. They've chosen that relationship. They've chosen those people and that pursuit, that direction, that flavor, whatever it is. Now, it doesn't mean they should be shunned and everything else, but understand that that's not the same relationship as those in the camp, in this part of the body who have chosen to walk together with you. Does that make sense? Okay? The hard part is what that actually looks like playing out. Well, you know what? Get counsel about any particular situation. Okay? Because some of you are going to have friends. A lot of you have been here for a few years already have friends that were here and are not here anymore. And they're going someplace else, and that's fine. They've got their own walk. I hope they end up in the inheritance like everybody else. But what should my relationship with them be at this point? That's the interesting thing. What is the right way to be loving towards them, but also understand that they weren't interested in this relationship? Okay? Some of you have close friends who are no longer close friends. Your relationship changed, didn't it? Well, people that leave here, but you still know them, the relationship changed. You may not think so because they still treat you the same, but they're not really treating you the same because they don't feel the same about all the rest of us that maybe they still feel about you. Or they would be here. Okay? So how you handle that and what you decide to do, that's not easy. Okay? So hopefully that's a tough question. All right? Next question.
Okay, from Philip. Says in chapter 5, verse 8, to live like children of the light, does this refer to the term used by the Essenes regarding God's elect? Example, John 1, verses 4 through 5, 8 through 9, fruits of the Spirit.
I don't think I understood your question, especially when you brought the Essenes in, and I'm not sure what that has to do with John 1, and then you linked it back into the fruits of the Spirit. Go to the Father and the Son. I think we spend the entire first part or two just going through John 1, okay? And that should hopefully explain that part. As far as the Spirit is concerned, listen to understanding the Ruach, and that should help a little bit there. Okay, next.
Okay, from Dutchman says, how do you deal with a non-Torah person who says they are a Christian, but who keep on pushing your buttons to discredit you and your walk? Do you use tough love or just ignore them?
I'm not sure what tough love means, but understand this. I mean, because it means different things to different people, right? Look, your Christian friends are no different than any other friends. And what I mean by that is friendship is a relationship. This person you're describing is not your friend. So I don't know why you have a relationship with them. They're not being respectful. They're pushing your buttons. They're trying to attack the things. The relationship that you thought you had is not what you have. Maybe you used to have it. But friendship is friendship. I have friends that are not in this walk. And you know what? They don't treat me with disrespect at all about this walk. I've known them my whole life or whatever. We don't interact a whole lot because mostly I interact only with you guys. But if we have a conversation whenever, you know, we happen to run into each other, they act like a friend. If your friend, Christian or not, starts treating you in a disrespectful way, that's not being your friend. So I would not stay friends with that person. I would tell them, if you're not going to treat me with respect, we are not going to interact as friends. Because that has nothing to do with your beliefs, by the way. It's a relational thing. You can have completely different beliefs and be friends. Okay? Next question.
Hey, from Carolyn, how do we use our talents or even figure out what they are if we are walking alone?
Move to Cleveland. Let me say something. Okay, look. And then we're going to probably have to end it here. But look, there are some legitimate reasons to stay wherever you are. Wherever people live, they've got family members they have to take care of or obligations or some other thing. Okay? But in pursuit of a life that somebody wants, people had uprooted themselves and gotten on boats to go from Europe to here, not knowing if they'd ever get here. And people went from here to try to go across the country to where there would be someplace they could try to make a home, not knowing what they'd run into there. People have uprooted to go somewhere to find something. This is historically very common. Okay? And so if you're walking this out by yourself, unless you have, and I'm not saying this person doesn't, they may have a reason why they can't move. Why wouldn't you think about moving to where you can walk this out with others? It just seems to make sense. oh, well, you know, Rabbi, you know, I want to be a disciple. Well, when he talked to people who were following him, he says, I want you to leave mother and sister and brother and leave your father who might be dying and leave all that other stuff behind and follow me wherever I go. That's what he said. And so if you feel like he's somewhere, I mean, obviously he's not where you are. You're by yourself. I'm not saying he's not there at all. I'm saying that's not where things are happening. So if you have the ability and desire, I would like to think that, I mean, if I were in your shoes and living somewhere else and have, I would move. Maybe not immediately, but I mean, I would make the effort to figure it out and move. And some of you, it took a few years and you planned it all out and then you got to be, because why would you want, this is not meant to be done by yourself. And so if you have the ability, now if you don't, then you can call and we could try to figure out a way to, you know, keep you in mind in case we can bring something out towards where you are at some point. But for right now, we don't have that ability. And so we're here. And so that's what I would say and encourage you. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel worse because you're stuck or this. Call us and we can try to see what we can do to help out to whatever degree we can. But I would, if I was by myself without anybody to walk this out with, find a way to walk it out with us. By the way, that's why we have the ladies' Marco Polo and the men's Marco Polo. People are walking it out virtually with each other all the time. Okay? And for a lot of people, that gives them that connectivity that they really need. Some of it gets to be a little strange and interesting in Marco Polo's, because people are people and they have fun and they do goofy things and everything. But it's fellowship. And you're on there with other people that are trying to do the same thing you're trying to do. So, you know, you're welcome to contact us and we can see what we can do to help. All right, that's going to do it because we have to start to get ready and get people prepared for the Passover meal that's going to be coming here. So...